Hi everyone, this is Dr. Deborah Zucker of Vital Medicine, and welcome to this month's free teleseminar, which is on the topic of how to discover easeful discipline in your health journey. So this topic really is central to how we navigate every aspect of our life. You know, are we moving with an orientation of love and ease towards ourselves? With ourselves, or do we experience a sense of inner strife, like we're constantly trying to manage and overcome ourselves? So I know this territory intimately myself, and the perspectives that I'm going to be sharing tonight with you are really born from my day-to-day learning as I continue to heal and open and grow each day in my own health journey. And so tonight, it's my hope that I'm going to support you in beginning to come into a place of easeful discipline. And I say beginning because, you know, it's an ongoing journey. It's an integration and incorporation process to really come to be in this state of holding ourselves in an ongoing way in our lives. But my hope is that I help to open that doorway for you where you can be focused and sustain movement towards the changes that you seek in your life while also orienting towards yourselves in a way that is generative, life-giving, and loving. So let me just introduce the logistics of the call for those of you who are new. I tend to talk for about 25 or 30 minutes and then open up the lines for questions and dialogue from all of you who are attending live tonight. So if you press star 6 at any time, that will let me know that you have something to share. And I really encourage you, whether you're listening live or you're listening to the recording later, to have a journal handy to capture any questions or insights that come to you while I'm sharing the perspectives with you tonight. And these perspectives, you know, are an integration of my own, you know, it's my own lens that's born from my own healing journey, from my training as a naturopathic physician, and in my ongoing work with clients over the last 6 years. So I encourage you to have the journal because, you know, all of us are unique, and for you to really see how this touches you and what it opens for you and what your unique perspectives will be on what we're touching into together tonight. So I like to start each call with a bit of a grounding meditation, you know, to invite us all to set aside whatever distractions might be in our space, close the doors, turn things off, and really view this entire teaching call as a meditation of sorts, where you're really giving yourself the permission to come into full presence with yourself, with your experience, with how you relate and resonate with what I'm speaking to, and to really be in tune with your own embodiment as we're touching into the various parts of the topic tonight. So in this moment, with the distractions set aside and your intention towards being present and fully here, tuning in to what it feels like to be in your body right now. Allowing yourself to relax in and invite yourself home into this particular body that you are. And letting your awareness just scan all the different physical sensations that are there, starting at the bottom of your feet and moving all the way up your body. Really allowing yourself to embrace your physicality with all the tensions and stresses, as well as the areas of ease and relaxation and wholeness that you feel. So without judgment, just feeling the various sensations. And feeling from that place, if you can get in touch with the pulsation of life, how the pulsation of life is filling you and moving through you right now. In whatever ways that comes to you, whether it's a physical sensation or an image or an emotional quality. Seeing if you can contact that miraculous spark of life that fills you, that makes you you right now, that means that you're alive and vital and consciously in a body. As you contact that, as you allow yourself to really open more fully to life infusing you, to the miracle of that, the preciousness of that, of feeling your mortality in that way, I'd like you just to see what rises up for you in this moment as a priority. A priority for yourself in life. From this place of being present to that life energy infusing you, what are you committed to? From this place of having a reverence for your body, recognizing the sacredness of what it feels like to be consciously in a body infused with life. What rises up as the top values and priorities for you in your life? And let yourself be surprised, just open to receive whatever comes in images and words and feelings. And if you have a journal handy, just take a few moments here and just jot that down, just as a way to remind yourself of that. And the invitation for you tonight is to see if, as you are present in the rest of this call, if you can stay tuned into that felt sense of the alive, of the innate aliveness, of life infusing you, of being conscious and present to the pulsation of life through you at all times. So let's dive in now to this topic of easeful discipline. And I'd like to start first with looking at how we typically relate with discipline. What does it tend to be like for us? So if you can tune in right now for yourself, what happens in your body when you think of discipline? What kinds of things in your life do you associate with discipline, and particularly tuning into the realm, you know, of what health means to you? Just noticing, does the word discipline evoke a sense of ease for you? Or does it evoke contraction? Does it evoke a clarity of what that means and how you relate to it? Does it feel generative and life-giving? So whatever shows up, just noticing what that is. And then I'm just going to outline, you know, what I would say is pretty typical for us, you know, given the cultures that most of us, I imagine, on this call have grown up in and are currently embedded in. You know, typically discipline involves a lot of contraction and self-judgment, a sense of trying to live up to something, of needing to will ourselves into compliance. It tends to feel like we need to create these rigid structures of rules that we then have to live up to, whether we may or may not be choosing them or coming up with them ourselves. It has, or it tends to have, an association of parental high-handing, kind of like we're being told what we need to do. It's an orientation of needing to manage ourselves or rally ourselves or overcome something that's wrong inside. And all that tends to be really disempowering. You know, we give ourselves over to some idea of what we think we're supposed to be doing, and then are wrought with the comparison of whether we're doing it or not, how well we're doing it, whether we're living up to some standard. And so, really, it's like the entire realm of discipline tends to be wrought with a push-pull dynamic, an internal struggle. We tend to subject ourselves to a lot of cruel self-talk. And it bumps us right up against, and I touched into this a minute ago, kind of a pretty warped kind of parent and rebellious teenager, mixed persona inside of us. So, like, the strict parental side of ourselves tells us what to do, and sometimes we obey that and feel justified in doing that. And then our rebellious teenager comes in, and we resist having the rules we need to be living by, and we want to proclaim our autonomy and freedom. So we stop doing whatever it is that we were doing, and it goes back and forth and up and down, and there's just like this pushing against, but it's all internal. And it's like we're battling ourselves into submission to be healthy, and none of that really lends itself to us actually being healthy. It doesn't lend ourselves to really being in service to ourselves and others and our collective future, with the kind of grace and shining presence and really brilliance that we're each innately here to embody in this lifetime. So that's kind of, the territory that I think a lot of us find ourselves in. And what I'd like to say about this is that even those of us, who are very much on a conscious path and who have done a lot of personal development work and probably done a lot, been involved with a lot of different, spiritual retreats and worked with spiritual teachers, in the realm of health, I still see this orientation really embedded in us. And I'm saying us because this is something, that I've very much seen in myself, and I'm still unwinding and disentangling of what is it to really shift out of that kind of discipline. And so let's kind of look at, why do we hold ourselves like that? Where does this kind of discipline come from? Like, what's the need for it? And what I want to address is that, on one level, there's a reason that we try and sort of high-hand ourselves or push ourselves into submission. It's because there is a reality that with any kind of metamorphosis of growth or healing or change, like we do actually move through transitional periods in which there may be a lot of discomfort and disorientation, and it might not feel good initially. And so there is this place where we do need discipline. Because it takes time to create habit changes, even if we are fully committed. And very few of us can decide that we're creating a change and then effortlessly and easily do it without looking back, at least beyond, one of those sort of quick fix, short-term kind of rushes that I'm sure a lot of us have experienced, where it's like we revolutionize our life and we keep it up for a couple weeks or a month, and then we're back to status quo. And when I'm talking about discipline here, and this goes for really any of my teachings, I'm really oriented for the long term. I'm oriented around helping us to move into an entirely different foundation of how we move through life and how we hold our care of ourselves, so that we can come out of this whole dynamic of these quick fixes that then fall apart, and then we feel a lot of shame and embarrassment about not being able to sustain what we had started, that the things that we had gotten so excited about and proclaimed to the world that we were doing. So in order to create change, we do need discipline. We need discipline because we don't always get that feel-good feedback right away that's self-supporting. And for those of you who listened in on last month's teleseminar, that was the topic, was on optimizing the feeling-good feedback loop. Because when we do really get into that deeper state of feeling good, that actually becomes self-sustaining because we really get a taste of what it is to feel vibrantly alive and thriving and aligned and really in our flow in life. But there's that transitional period. So this is where discipline comes in. So we need the discipline to help us move through the discomfort of the change, the times where our symptoms and experience may actually be telling us that it's all way too hard, that we don't like what we're doing, and that we feel really out of balance, we feel disoriented, and how we grounded ourselves in life, our norms of what felt like we were grounded or had some sense of who we were and what we're doing and what worked for us, all may be shifting and changing. And our body might feel slow and sluggish. We may go into kind of a detox of sorts, emotionally, physically, and otherwise. All change on some level requires that we're letting go of the old. Like there's a dying off that needs to happen, a making room to invite in the new. And as this process happens, as I've said, it can be quite uncomfortable. So, what I'd say is that we might reframe our orientation of discipline to actually acknowledge that we all need structures of support in place to help us move through these transitions. It takes a while sometimes to get to that feel-good feedback at that deeper level. And we really have to be willing to face the darkness and the discomfort in order to really build up the new muscles of awareness and the new pathways of integration in our body. And not just in our body, but it really stems to all different aspects of how we're moving through our life. And so this is true, whether we're exercising after not having done so for a long time, or we're shifting our diet, or we're rebranding our business, which is something, I've been looking at recently, or, we're letting go of a relationship that wasn't a fit for us. All of what I'm speaking to is relevant to any kind of life change and transformation that we're going through. So before I really shift into kind of the nitty-gritties of what, an easeful discipline looks like, I want to touch us back into a bit of what I was inviting in the meditation before of, if we're going to support ourselves in an easeful discipline, we really need to be coming from an awakened orientation to our own self-care. And when I say awakened, I really mean like shaking ourselves awake, to that place of reverence, that place of connection with the life energy infusing us, of consciousness infusing this body, of really being present to our mortality and the preciousness of being alive in this body, in this moment. And orienting in a way, just feel it in this moment if you can, to reconnect with that. What does self-care look like from that place when we're really awake to that? When we can turn towards ourselves with reverence, with sacredness, with stewardship, for really honoring that each of us is the only one who's here to steward and take care of this particular body and being and support ourselves in thriving and being the fullest expression that we can be in the world. So for all of us who are oriented around really serving in life, of being the change makers, the visionaries, the conscious entrepreneurs out there who are really stepping out to help our collective future find its way, as a whole, more easefully with greater alignment with life itself. We need to start with ourselves, So really recognizing that that's the starting point for easeful discipline, and that's the starting point for anything that I bring forth in my teachings and in my work with clients. So with an easeful discipline, we're evolving the entire notion of what discipline is from this place of reverence for self, from this awakened ground of health. We get 100% buy-in. The push-pull dynamic drops away. And we're really able to navigate from a totally different place in ourselves. The rules, become irrelevant in a way, at least the rules and the ways in which they tend to be this external list, that we're told we're supposed to do and that we're trying to live up to. Those kind of rules drop away. And instead, what becomes central is that there's an orientation of commitment to loving and nurturing ourselves into realizing our wholeness and our vital potential. There's a sense of awe, there's a sense of reverence, of our recognition of what it is to be alive and in a body. We hold ourselves with care. We've tasted what it's truly like to feel good at the depths of our being. So again, the feeling good where we're just alive and vital. We have the sense that we are fully being who we're here to be at this point in time. And we orient around our inner guidance from this place. We're really listening for the feedback we're receiving, and we're orienting around what makes us come alive. There isn't the rigidity. There isn't a yardstick to try and live by. There's simply a sense of compassionate acceptance and love of ourselves that's both agentic and receptive at the same time. And this is a tricky thing for our minds to get around, you know, and I'd say that about a lot of my teachings. Like I'm pointing the way towards something that I hope I give you a felt sense of, but really this is not about our minds getting it. It's about us experimenting and living into having an embodied experience of it. You know, how can we have a discipline that isn't forceful and rooted in will? How can we ever make change if we're not actively moving ourselves there from this forceful place? So this easeful kind of discipline, when we find it, when we discover it, it actually helps us to really feel empowered and generative because it's born from this awakened sense of responsibility. It's not born from this externally created idea of who we're supposed to be and how we're supposed to get to that image or set of criteria. It's born from who we each uniquely are and what our unique truth is and what brings us alive, what would support us in thriving. And I'm not trying to negate that there's so much to learn from all the science and studies and so much to learn from each other in terms of things to try out. But ultimately, it comes back to this trust in our own inner knowing and in experimenting and seeing what works for us. So what does discipline then look like in this orientation of being awake and reverent and life-promoting in how we're holding our self-care? What are the strategies that we can use? So before I talk more, just again, drop into yourself right now and see what shows up for you in this moment. Do you have a sense of any ideas or any clarity around how you might shift into this orientation of holding yourself and what discipline might look like for you? I'm just going to pause and let that sink in and see if anything comes to you. What I see around this is that easeful discipline means getting honest with yourself about what would best support your movement through the transitional period. So it's different for each of us. But when we're clear about the alignment of the choice and the experiment we're trying, and I keep using the word experiment, I just want to say I did do another call, I think it was 2 or 3 months ago, on experimenting with playful curiosity. So that's another element of this framework that I'm bringing forth. And it might be a really nice compliment after this call to listen to that either again or the first time if you haven't. So when we're clear, you know, about the alignment of the choices that we're making and the experiments that we're trying, and we really want to give ourselves the best opportunity to give that experiment a long enough test to really be able to see what happens for us on the other side. You know, to really be able to see, like, do we get to that place of that deep feeling good feedback? Or perhaps we don't. And so that's feedback for us as well to try something else. So how can we hold the discipline lightly for ourselves, but also with a fierce dedication? You know, the dedication isn't there because we think it's supposed to be what we're doing. So again, there's a really subtle shift here that I'm pointing at. It's a dedication that's really grounded in the heart of life that you're connected to, with really being connected in with that pulse of life within, of being awake to what really matters, of what we're really dedicated and committed to, of what our true values and priorities are, in which we actively feel and are connected to what brings us alive in life, what we're being guided to, what's in alignment for each of us individually, uniquely. And to not set ourselves up again for another level of what we're supposed to be doing or thinking we're supposed to be doing. And it's a slippery slope. It's so easy to start in one place and shift into the other without realizing it. But the key is to stay attuned to when the tension starts to arise. And not sort of the discomfort of the transition, but that sort of tension that feels, again, like that strict parent coming in that's trying to make us do something because we decided that's what we're supposed to be doing. So I imagine you can probably get a sense of the subtlety here of how easy it is to slip from that connected place of discipline to this externally created rule that, you know, what was internal turns external, and then we've lost the connection piece. So what kind of accountability might we need here? What kind of rhythm and reminders? And, you know, what would a reminder look like that's not really like a cheerleader style, but instead is really about nudging us to wake back up again and get back in tune with what we're prioritizing in life, with who we really are. To really move ourselves towards that as the orientation of how we move through life, and to have that be our orientation to health, and to have that be our orientation from which discipline is born. So let's get a little more grounded here. You know, now that I've given some sense of the territory and the possibility, let's get grounded into just, you know, some ideas of what this might look like in your daily life. You know, we need structures of support, you know, that will keep us in a container, that will keep us aligned with these values, that will keep us awake to that orientation of reverence and love and honoring for what brings us alive in life, that helps us to continue to move towards that in a way in which we're really oriented towards ourselves with love and nourishment. So again, you know, I've mentioned a couple of the other topics, but just you might after this call just take a look at some of the other past topics because they all weave together with what I'm talking about tonight. So the again, the experimenting with playful curiosity, the awakening our sense of responsibility, the last topic on optimizing our feeling good feedback. Really, they're all relevant, but those are the ones that pop up that might be most intertwined with what I'm speaking to tonight. So what are some structures of support? What do I mean by that? You know, some tools that come to mind for me that really might support you. And this is coming from a lot from my own experiments in life. And I, as I said earlier, I'm constantly tuning in to how I'm continuing to change and grow in my relationship to easeful discipline and what works and supports that and what doesn't. So what might work brilliantly for you right now, you know, in a few months might not be a fit anymore. So you'll find a new tool. But here are some things just to seed your own experimentation with this. So creative structures of support that keep your awareness and intentions front and center, you know. So the first thing around this would be just some tools that keep the reminders there, that just keep that awareness popping up, because it is, you're like, what I'm speaking to here is a transformational shift. It's a shift of foundation and perspective of how you're rooting yourself and moving through life. So all the reminders that you can have, the better. So you might create some images, whether you draw them, paint them, use photographs, do something fancy on your computer, and post them around your home, in your office, by your bed, in the bathroom, on your door, by your computer. Just things, they might have words on them, they might just be images that are evocative for you, that serve to sort of spark that remembrance of what it's like to really live from that place of reverence towards yourself. And same, likewise, for those of you who are on computer a lot, you can, set up messages that pop up on your screensaver, or there's lots of apps out there that you can have these random messages or dongs, little chime noises or whatever that come up that just sort of pop you out of whatever sort of state you have been in and can serve as reminders for you. Another thing that I've really been benefiting from a lot recently that I would highly recommend you experimenting with, given our current cultural paradigm of being so calendar oriented and scheduled, that having things scheduled in your calendar can be a profound way to enact habit changes and to create structures of support for yourself. So, you can actually schedule in your daily walks or your strength training or your nurturing time with friends and loved ones. Or, I love Julia Cameron's orientation around artist dates, which she frames as, a weekly time, and you can have it be however often you want, that's totally devoted to nurturing your own creativity. And for me, I even expand beyond creativity to include nurturing that sense of new experiences or adventure, and to actually schedule those in for yourself so that, you have this time every week or twice a week or whatever it is for you that's all about just going off, on some adventure for yourself that really awakens sort of that wondrous awe, childlike quality in you. And with all of those examples, those are just some things. So, tuning in for yourself, what are some of the things that you might want support around integrating into your life, that you've habitually needed and tried to rally yourself into through, more the conventional kind of discipline. And see what happens if you schedule it into your calendar. And once it's scheduled in your calendar, you treat it as sacred. You honor it. You honor it just as much as if you had a job interview or, were meeting someone that you just would never back out of meeting. So you have that same kind of reverence and commitment to yourself around these scheduled activities. Another tool that I've also been experimenting with recently that I'll probably actually put out in an email or a post soon because I'm loving it. If you go to the website placeboeffect.com, a friend of mine started this company and it's totally brilliant. It's still kind of in the early stages, but they have a lot of different tools there already. And basically, you can sign up for a daily placebo on a lot of different topic areas. I personally have been working with the focus placebo recently and loving it. So they'll send you an email, at whatever time in the day you tell it to. And then there's a minute to 2 minute audio, video placebo that really helps to evoke and inspire that intention for yourself. And I think right now there's at least six different intentions, including things like weight loss and exercise and some business-oriented ones. And so I'd encourage you to check that out because I've been doing it for 6 weeks and loving it. It really helps to shift my state and put me into the mindset that I'm really wanting to be moving through life with. So that's another tool. I'm just going to pause here and drink a little water. I can feel my throat getting dry. Hold on. Okay. I realize I've been talking a lot longer than normal. Okay. I just have a little bit more to share, and then I will open it up for some Q&A time. So the next part that I want to emphasize, what I've talked about so far in terms of strategies are things just to do on your own for yourself. And the next area that I want to emphasize that I think is the most important thing when we're talking about discipline is relational and community support. I really am a huge proponent. I feel like this is the most profound element of successful transformational habit change. And actually next month's free teleseminar is going to be all on this topic. So stay tuned, but I'm just going to go into it briefly now just to really help us all recognize how the accountability, the witnessing, and the loving holding is incredibly, incredibly supportive for our transformation. So, you know, this comes in different versions. You know, there's peer support, you know, actively asking a friend to be a health buddy, you know, and you check in with one another. It could be a partner or it could be your family that is holding you in your intentions, and you can set up kind of the structure of how often you're checking in about it or what that sharing looks like or how you create that container of support. You can hire a practitioner, you know, to hold the intentions with you, to reflect back to you your values and commitments, to really help you navigate the stumbles, because yes, there's going to be stumbles. And to help you create new experiments to try, you know, so you don't get into this rigidness of thinking that there's only one way. And to help you feel like you're really in something that's bigger than yourself. You know, this is huge. The right practitioner can hold that space for you of really helping you to remember the bigger picture of why you're even trying to create the changes that you are and how to hold it in a way that's both personal and impersonal. And the community of practice, you know, being a part of a structured community with shared intentions, it's amazing how much we can open and shine and find our freedom of movement forward through the witnessing and sharing that happens in community. And the reason that so many of my programs are designed for intimate group containers is for this very reason. I know from my own experiences in being in transformative learning and spiritual communities how profound this is. And there's nothing like it to enact and sustain change in our life as having a community of practice of some sort. So, you know, just to summarize this whole relational piece, it's through relational support we have the opportunity to come out of our shame and to move around and sidestep the quicksand of the resistance and overwhelm that we find, to really be held and nurtured in our movement forward, so that we're held in a container that's all about supporting us and coming more alive and actualizing changes that we seek in a real, embodied, grounded, and aligned way. It shifts us out of floundering on our own, of living with that inner battle and the shame that plagues so much of us on our health journey, so many of us on our health journey. And I can just feel, you know, as I drop into that, you know, as I really feel what I'm pointing to in those words, like I feel my own body in this moment relax. Just feeling the ease that's evoked in me simply from knowing that sense of what it feels like to be held, whether it's one other person or a community, to really be able to be transparent and authentic and messy and vulnerable in all the different aspects of what it is to transform and create the changes that I seek. So this isn't a black and white linear journey. You've probably got a sense of that by now from what I've been speaking to. You know, the shift into easeful discipline is really a subtle one, but it's really profound. This kind of discipline that's rooted in our grounding and health, that's awake and tuned into what brings you alive in a loving, nurturing way, is not ever going to look black and white or linear. It's going to require that you be adaptive and flexible. It's going to require that you learn as you go, that you really stay tuned in to the feedback you're receiving, and you learn to discern what is life-giving in the deepest sense of that word, and what is superficial to move through and to let go? You know, what's that superficial static, I guess would be a better way to say it requires and invites that you actively enjoy the transformation and growth, even when it's painful and difficult, to reframe that as part of what you're choosing to come more alive in life. You know, again, like the analogy of a seed pushing through the ground. This is really what we're talking about. And the discipline is providing that structure to support that seed and popping through. And it requires that you remain vulnerable and open. You know, as you come into new ways of being in this transformation, you inevitably will be shedding and letting go. So again, it's not black and white. We flutter back and forth for a while around the threshold of this. We get tastes of what's possible. And then at some point, we find ourselves crossing over and really standing in this new territory of health, where we can really get a sense from our inner map, a felt sense, an embodied sense in our inner state of being that perhaps we had only gotten glimpses of before. And this is key. You know, once we've crossed over and we've really gotten a sense of that, it's like there's something in us that is able to anchor there so that we can find our way back. Because again, it's not black and white. It's not like, boom, we shift over and we can do the easeful discipline thing for the rest of our life. It's like building a muscle, it's building the pathway, and so that we can find our way back. And with this comes the embodied wisdom, you know, comes the wholeness, the possibility that we've been speaking to and touching into tonight. So, yeah, this feels like a good place to be wrapping up. So I'll just say, you know, in my approach to my work and in all that I'm doing in vital medicine, this realm, this conundrum around discipline that we've been touching into is really foundational, you know, to everything that I work with. Myself and in supporting others around self-care and our health and shifting out of the orientations, you know, the kind of discipline and rigidness that's so unhealthy and really dishonoring of the miracle of our aliveness. And so, yeah, really, as I've been speaking to tonight, it's about an evolution of orienting, of how we're holding ourselves deeply, deeply rooted in life's innate wisdom. Being awake and alive and in service to this life energy. And this realm of discipline and responsibility are then held in this larger whole of which we're a part. So I'm hoping that some of what I've touched into tonight, you know, has offered you some opening and also a sense of release or relief, you know. That's what I'm hoping for, and that's what I experience myself when I recognize and remember this other way of moving through life and of enacting change that really honors our capacity to feel enlivened and to feel peaceful and engaged and to stay in focus with our service to the greater whole, you know, from this place of service towards ourselves. So I'm going to open it up now, you know, for those of you who are live, if any of you have any comments, I'd love to know how what I've been talking about has touched you. And also if you have any questions or examples that would be helpful for us to dig into and tease apart a bit together. So all you have to do is press star 6. Don't be shy if you have anything you want to share. Star 6. And for those of you who are not live tonight, you know, I'm always available for you to contact me via email or phone if you want to share, you know, in your own time, any questions or things that you would like support around that have been sparked by our conversation tonight. So my email is deb@vitalmedicine.com. And the number is 360-389-2182. So, any of you who are live tonight have anything you want to share? The line's open now, and we have some time. This is also an opportunity. You know, these monthly calls are also just an opportunity for one-on-one, you know, coaching here, and it can be directly related to the topic or not. So, just to open the door for that too, for those of you who are live. All right. Well, it's not looking like anyone is moved to share. Oops. Never mind. Someone just came in. Hold on one sec. I will unmute you. All right. You are live.
Yes. Hi, Deb. This is Eric.
And, hi.
Yeah, this is my first time to be on a call with you, and it's such a breath of fresh air. It was exactly what I needed right now. I've been very busy pushing on a project and wasn't sure I would make it, and I'm so glad that I was here. It was really important to hear the reframe that you're bringing, and I think one of the things that I'm really appreciating is this way that my notions of discipline have been so baked in from childhood, and that, you know, that rigid parental thing, even though I know better, and that if you ask me consciously, do I subscribe to that notion, I would say no. But when I look at the way I actually go about things, like, you know, this evening, you know, I did get my exercise done this afternoon, and so, oh, I got to do it this evening, but just that I got to do it versus coming back into contact with, you know, a greater sense of connection to life and what's my intention for how I show up in the world. And when I contact that place that's, you know, just more in the mystery of life, I just find this internal shift that, as you say, it's so subtle, but it's so essential to go like, oh, yeah, I want to do this. I don't have to exercise tonight. I choose to exercise tonight because this supports my vitality and well-being as a person. And, yeah, it just feels like a wonderful gift to be here and to hear what you've been sharing.
Thank you, Eric. It's really nice to have you on the call and to feel the depths at which you received what I was pointing to tonight, because it is really subtle. And when we can even just get a glimpse or a felt sense of the shift, it really opens that doorway to begin to really move through life from that place that is easeful. It's innately easeful when we're connected, you know, with our life energy, from that place of really being open to serving, from that place of reverence. Life, even when it's difficult and challenging and we're in pain, like there's a deeper sense of ease that's there, because that there's that alignment and that attunement with the life energy itself. And I really heard that in the reflection that you just gave, that you know, you're recognizing the difference between kind of our mental idea of like, well, of course I don't, you know, subscribe to sort of that hardcore kind of discipline, but at the same time we're all embedded in that enculturation, and it's deep in us. And and so to begin to feel that shift and that possibility, which is an ongoing it's an ongoing practice to really integrate into that way of being.
Yeah, and I can really see what you're saying too in the community of practice, that, you know, so many of the cultural messages that we get, what we're embedded in most of the time is giving this, you know, no pain, no gain, or just the push mentality. Mm. It's so much a part of, you know, at least this American culture that I live in, and to have the support of others who are able to, you know, step into this different perspective. I notice myself starting to shift just when I'm in the presence of others who are doing that as well. It's like, oh, there's the reminder.
Okay, yeah.
Drop in, really feel it now.
Yeah. Yeah, it's amazing how powerful it is, and in the realm of health, for whatever reasons, has been such an isolated journey. You know, even though, you know, people, and I, granted, I'm reframing the orientation around health to really be including everything, but even when we kind of look at health through sort of the more standard definition of it, it's like, yeah, it's it's been so enculturated into us that it's this isolated journey where, you know, we might see a practitioner, but otherwise it's just us against ourselves in a way. And to drop out of that and to experience what you're just speaking to of what it is to witness and be witnessed and really open and vulnerability with what the journey has been like for us and what it's like to begin to shift and change. It just, yeah, it's amazing just how it amplifies the potentiality of it all for each of us individually when we're held in that group container, that group field.
It's interesting here to, as you speak to the vulnerability, I'm feeling that tenderness right now in my own heart of the way that I sometimes push myself so hard. And it's like, feeling that invitation to a more easeful orientation towards all of that. It just creates that stark contrast between sometimes how I get caught up and how I can be, and reminds me of how I really want to be living and how to create the structures that are supporting that more.
Thank you so much, Eric. It's really refreshing to hear you and yeah, to be in this dialogue with you.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, I'm going to mute you again.
Okay.
And would anyone else like to share tonight before we wrap up this call? Got a few more minutes here. So again, press *6 if there's anything that you feel drawn to share. All right. Well, looks like we have a quieter group on the call tonight. That's totally good. I trust that, you know, that anyone would know if they had the movement to share something. So let's wrap up the call tonight. I just want to thank all of you who showed up live and just really want to honor your choice of prioritizing this kind of learning and curiosity and awareness for yourself and your life. And for those of you who are listening at a later time, you know, the same goes for you, that, you know, this is, you know, in a way, one of the biggest transformational shifts that we can make in our life. You know, for me, and granted I'm biased by how life has led me and what I'm teaching, but it just feels like this is really the foundation of it all, you know, what we're touching into here, these questions and awarenesses around how to truly honor our own life and how to support ourselves in coming into the most vibrant, fullest, life-giving expression of ourselves as we can. You know, our world really needs all of us to step up in this way. And I really see it as starting at home with ourselves, really coming home more fully to ourselves and being present to nourish and nurture ourselves into our aliveness from this place that, you know, is easeful and brings ease both, you know. So again, I'm available at any time. Just contact me if you want to engage further. And I wish you all a lovely evening. All right. Good night.